That's all him. Right. Go, Gogs.
Welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right, Movie the Podcast. We descend further into madness, and we've Alexander wept for there were no more worlds to conquer. We have finally seen My Dinner with Andre for the show. Yeah. And this is back-to-back movies, in air quotes, where Wallace Shawn plays Wallace Shawn and Andre Gregory plays Andre Gregory.
I still hold the fact that this is more of a movie than Vanya on 42nd.
This is more
I find it much more compelling. Also, it's more of a podcast than it is a movie.
It's a pitch for a podcast.
It feels like podcasting before it was like proto podcast. Like it feels like the Joe Rogan Experience.
No, yeah, it's fucking Andre Gregory is Aaron Rodgers and Wallace Shawn is Pat McAfee.
Yeah. if Joe Rogan had gone to like SUNY Yonkers, this is what podcasting would be.
Technically, this was my birthday pick, and I thought it fitting that it came out in 1981. Same year I came into the
brought
world.
Brought to you by fucking Wallace Shawn and Troma Films.
That's so crazy. Troma was involved in this. Who would have fucking thought? Also, Sean, we were talking about Wallace's Sean's wife. She's in the movie.
Yeah. 2 seconds. Yeah, she's one of the patrons. I want the movie. There's two movies I want. I told TJ I want to make a movie where it's just two of us, any two of us, doesn't matter, behind them while they're just playing the audio track from this movie, just calling them gay every 5 minutes.
The other movie, when Andre starts talking about sex with a woman, I'm like, woman? Yeah.
I know. The other movie I want to make is Wallace Shawn in Lloyd Kaufman's office having this meeting about trying to get him to help make this movie.
I'd like to tack a rider onto that. The movie I would like is a huge, big budget movie that actually like duplicate or like it actually shows you all the adventures,
all the crazy Andre Gregory movie
would have been absolutely expensive as shit. He's in like the fucking Sahara Desert. He's here. He's there.
Like Tomb Raider for like
it's like Tomb Raider assholes. For gay guys.
Yeah. Anyway. No, let's do another movie. It's like my incredibly Fast and Furious Dinner with Andre, where it's just fucking Jason Statham and Vin Diesel and Vin Diesel?
Oh, my
having
God.
The conversation while they're driving 200 miles an hour.
Now we're talking.
But the same conversation, word for word,
exactly the same.
Can you imagine Vin Diesel trying to remember this dialogue?
He's got to play Andre Gregory, though. He has to be that part.
We'll get it. But Sean, you might know. You know a lot about this movie already, I think.
Yeah.
Was this because the screenplay is credited between the two actors? Was this improvised or was this written?
There's a script. There is a script. It does feel very improvisational. It feels like
we'll talk about it, I'm sure. So
it feels like he could have just been like, okay, the scene is we're at dinner and you're just telling me about all the shit you've done recently. Go.
Well, that's what I thought. Watching the movie, that's what I thought. I've seen this before, but I thought, like, did they improvise? Because I guess I never really realized that they were the two credited screenwriters on this.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get into it. What did y'all watch this week? Alec.
Buckle in, boys.
Oh, hell yeah. I love a big long Alec list.
I watched 10 movies.
Holy shit, dude. That's impressive.
9 of the 10 are Lifetime movies.
Hell yeah, dude.
The one that's not...
You didn't lose your job or anything, did you? 10 movies. Damn, dude. That's a lot.
The non-Lifetime movie is Strange Wilderness, starring Sir Steve Zahn.
Oh, I love that. But that with the shark. Oh,
man, that movie is not good. Have you watched it lately?
No, I just remember the trailer with the shark that was like, hey, look at this guy. Remember that? That's like the only part of the movie.
I can confirm. I watched it with my dad not that long ago. It is horrendous.
It's so bad. And we searched for it. Like, we're like, this is a dumb Happy Madison movie like that we haven't seen. She thinks she had seen it at one point. I've never seen it. But it was a wasted effort searching for it.
I want to say that I saw it with Gogs one time. Well, we got back from a bar or something, and we put it on. We were both drunk as shit, and I think we both fell asleep.
Yeah,
that's correct.
That tracks.
Yeah.
But Strange Wilderness.
Long time ago.
Strange Wilderness, not great.
Not good. Not in the better Happy Madison camp.
No, it's real bad. Now on to the Lifetime.
Hell yeah.
I'm not gonna talk about all of them. I'll run through all their names and then talk about a couple of them. Sounds good. No One Would Tell, which is about a girl that has an abusive boyfriend who ends up murdering her. High school girl. Scare B&B, which is fucking tremendous.
Scare B&B, what a great title. Oh, that's that's an awesome title. I love that.
It's so good. It's these four women rent an Airbnb because one of them just broke up with their husband or boyfriend or something. And then it turns out that the Airbnb host is renting his place, and the women who check it out, he sex traffics them.
Oh my God. Holy shit. Jesus Christ. Yeah. I did not think that's where it was going. Jesus fucking Christ.
It's fucking wild. It is something else.
You know, the original title of Men, the original title of Men was Scare B&B. No,
thank you. I should have kept it.
They got sued.
Watched the movie called Evil Stepmom, which is not good.
let me guess what that one's about. It's about a stepmom who sex traffics her daughter.
No. Close. No. Watched Fatal Honeymoon starring Harvey Keitel.
Holy shit, no way.
Yeah. Harvey Keitel's in
one. Oh, isn't that real? Wait, what? Harvey Keitel's not the guy who killed his wife. Who's the guy who killed his wife who looks like Harvey Keitel?
I mean, I'm talking about William Blake.
Yeah.
William Blake is a
William Blake's writer. A poet. He wrote Tigers, moron.
I know. He also did that cool ass Leviathan painting from
Fearful Symmetry.
Mm-hmm. Fatal Honeymoon's something else. Harvey Keitel's daughter marries a serial abuser who then kills her scuba diving on their honeymoon to collect the insurance, but they never changed the insurance to his name, so he killed his wife for nothing.
nice boner.
I got fucked up because when you said Harvey Keitel, in my head it converted to Harvey Fierstein, and like I just want to see this movie where Harvey Fierstein's married to a woman.
Oh no, my daughter,
Harvey Fierstein.
Okay, here's where we get a little wild.
The good stuff.
Yesterday we went to a restaurant called Mia's that has an Italian breakfast, which is tremendous. It's in Alexandria.
Oh, fuck. Never mind.
But they do a thing called the Meatball Benedict. And it's like a thing of fried polenta, meatball, and then like an egg and hollandaise on top. And it is.
That sounds amazing.
So good. It's not it's meatball meat, but they make it flat so you can like eat it.
Oh, wow.
That sounds so good.
That sounds fucking delicious.
So anyway, we went and did that yesterday morning and then came home and got high and watched a bunch of Lifetime Amish Lifetime.
Your whole
movies.
Life is amazing.
Dude, I love you guys so much. I hope you know how much I love you guys. You guys are the fucking best.
Like, for real, I almost didn't leave your house last time.
We have fun.
Yeah, you guys have good times.
Of the four Amish movies, one is called Amish Affair, where a dude... He didn't poison his wife. Somebody else poisoned his wife with some kind of drugs that made it seem like she had ALS, but she wouldn't go seek actual medical care. So she died so he could sleep with the nanny, Amish nanny, in their house. Expecting Amish is where a girl goes on a rumspringer.
Sean has a question. I don't know if you can see the hand raised.
I can't while I have my list up.
Sean, go ahead.
Real quick, because you've watched so many of these movies now, are they all written by like three different people, or are they different writers and directors for everything?
Yeah, they're all like different. Like when you look at I guess they're not all different, but there's a billion of them. So when you look at like IMDb for like one of these and look at like usually the lead actors and the director, if you look at like their list, they've been in a bunch of, they're not just like doing one Lifetime movie and that's it. They've directed like a handful of them, but it's not all the same person.
They probably
like one guy doing like 1,000 of these.
I mean, they probably have like a almost like a studio system. They probably hire like a stable of people to make all these.
One probably of the movies, I forget which movie it was, but they must have rented a Tesla, and like in every shot outside, you see this. They make sure you see the Tesla in the shot.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So the next one was called Expecting Amish, which a girl goes on Rumspringa and sleeps with a guy and gets pregnant.
Oh, shit.
So then she has to choose between her Amish family and her English family. That one was not good.
Does the guy stick around, or is it
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's all stand up.
Okay.
She initially abandons him to go back to the Amish.
Of course.
But then she comes to her senses at the end and goes back to him.
Semi-related, I've stumbled across a TikTok where it's this Amish lady that cooks, and their accent is fucking insane. Like, it's like the weirdest accent I've ever heard in my life.
It's like Dutch, right? Does it sound kind of South African or something?
It sounds gross. Kind of Dutch, but it's very interesting. Like, it doesn't... The way they talk is just like, it's still English, but it's just like a little off. It's very, like she says, like, I'm trying to think of an example of a word that she used. Like, she's, you know, like the whole, like, remember the whole Stewie from Family Guy, the whipped cream?
Yeah.
Like, that's, they use that, like, for real. Like, she says it, and it's like, what? Like, it's very interesting.
They would say, like, Bill Clinton.
Also, like, her clothes, like, she wears, like, you know how Amish women dress, they're very conservative or whatever. But I've never, you know, like clothespins. I've never really thought about the name clothespin. But they literally like clothespin their clothes together, and I was like, oh, I guess that's why they're called clothespins. I've never thought about that before.
I never knew.
You know those bushes are out of control too.
Oh yeah, yeah. The food she makes looks pretty good. I have to say though, I'm sure
it's all insanely rich.
And it looks butter forward.
Like, how much dough is involved in her cooking? Because I feel like it's a lot.
Well, she made lasagna one time, and I was like, this is going to be disgusting. But it actually looked very good, so I don't know. Anyway, I forget her name, but look her
Trenchant
up.
Trenchant Insight, TJ. Trenchant Insight.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. Amish people can use TikTok?
There's different
sects of Amish people. Like, they're not all
Mennonites.
Yeah, well, Mennonites, like, they're basically do everything.
Apparently, she was part of a much more strict community, and she left, and she still, like, adheres to, like, Amish values, but she's in a much less strict community.
Well, she uses a steam-powered phone.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm.
There's no bunk cell phone.
There's no buttons on her phone, because that would be... too much flair.
Sean would hate that. Anyway, good continue. Anyway, I apologize.
Watched a movie called An Amish Burger starring Neve Campbell.
Burger or murder?
Murder.
Okay.
Amish burgers are really good. I got one, or did I get one up there? Yeah, I got one up in Pennsylvania when we were visiting Stacy's family one time. It was like a steamed ham. It was so good.
Ooh, steamed hams.
Utica. Sure.
Neve Campbell is a cop who is an ex-Amish who got excommunicated because she got sexually abused. So they kicked her out instead of the guy that did it.
As they are wont to do.
And the guy that did it, they murdered eventually and killed him. But then now there's a copycat killer, so she's trying to find out who's the copycat. It was not great. This one, Amish Stud. Starring Luke McFarlane, who has not done a lot, but he was Billy Eichner's boyfriend in Bros. And he's done a bunch of Lifetime movies. Amish Stud is something else. This dude is all over the place, banging everybody. He has at least 4 girlfriends, I believe. And then he plays them all against each other. Try to get one of them to kill his wife, and whichever one kills his wife, he's going to stay with.
Isn't this one based like kind of on a true story?
Eli Weaver. Luke McFarlane is a handsome man. The real Eli Weaver was not. He looked like Patton Oswalt with a Amish beard. Not great. It's a fucking blast. It's so stupid, and everybody's so stupid in it, and the dialogue's so stupid. I love it. I love it so much. The last one I watched, we just finished the one called Gracie's Choice, which was the best movie and had the best acting, but it's boring as piss.
It's like a real movie, so it's not interesting at all.
Yeah, Kristen Bell is in it, Anne Heche is in it. It's from 2004, so Kristen Bell's really young. Her mom is a druggie, and Kristen Bell like fights the courts to get custody of her siblings. It was fine. It was the best acted. Sean will appreciate this. Julian from Trailer Park Boys shows up for like a second as the drugged out mom's boyfriend. No lines. Just in the scene drink? For like a second. No, he didn't have his rum and coke? Is that what he drinks? No, he didn't have his rum and coke. That's all I watch. I started that new Spider-Man show, and I don't know. It's all right.
I don't really like the animation. The animation
is that the one where the lead voice actor was like, I just wanted to make sure it wasn't too woke before I did it?
Yeah, that's the one.
I didn't hear that. But I just, logistically, like, every episode has, and you can skip through the shit, but I don't feel like doing it every time. It has a recap. It's like 2 minutes. A cold open that's like 2 minutes. And their intro is like 2 minutes. And each one you have to skip separately.
Oh, God.
And it's just really annoying. I watched a couple episodes and I was like, just now I can't. It's so stupid. I just want to just skip everything and play now.
Just get the Spider-Man. Like,
the show itself is fine.
Yeah.
I don't think it's anything breaking any new ground. It's like a slightly different backstory. But it's fine. Sean.
I didn't really watch much. I watched a bit of there's a show with Sterling K. Brown that the old lady watches where
I saw the commercial
Hulu,
for that.
It's on Hulu.
Yeah, it's okay. Like James Marsden's in it. He's fine.
It's like X-Files kind of though, right? Like there's some government secret that he
But they all live in an underground city, spoilers. I did watch the most recent episode of Severance, which continues to get way better again.
Dude, so good.
Maybe one of my favorite episodes.
That episode was so fucking good. And then, like, the reveal at the end of the episode is like, holy shit. Like, that show is so fucking good.
But it is kind of funny, and I didn't really watch anything else, but I want to take a minute to just kind of touch on these TV shows and the movie we watched, because, like, normally, like, she's watching, like, you know, whatever, Houston Fire Police or CIA EMS or whatever the fuck. And, like, I hate them. And then she comes home, and I'm watching my dinner with Andre, and she's like looking at the movie and looking at me and looking at the movie. I felt like I've been telling her my dick has been broken for years. And she like walked in while I was jacking at the stump porn. Like, she's like, oh, is this what you like? Is this what gets you off? I had my keys in my hand. I was, she went with a buddy of hers out. So I was going to go see Mickey 17. And like 2 seconds before I left the house, I flipped through TikTok, and I'm sure TJ's going to talk about it. And I'm like, well, I guess my plans are canceled.
Yeah.
I'll let TJ take over now.
I watched two things. Anybody?
Two things.
Thank you.
I'm very tired.
Sorry, buddy. I watched the new Bong Joon-ho movie, Mickey 17, and it was my most anticipated movie this year, and I didn't like it. I don't think it's terrible. I just don't think it's very good. And I don't know, man. Like, it's one of the most frustrating kinds of bad movies, because like, it's not bad. Like the movie looks great and the acting is good, but like, it just kind of meanders around. It has like a really weird pacing problems, and like, the storyline, like by the time it actually gets to like the storyline, is really dumb. And I don't know, like it was such a nothing movie. And like the promos and the trailers like led you to believe that, you know, Mickey 17 is what they call an expendable, right? They're in this like
it's like Moon, right? Like that kind of vibe.
I mean, no, Moon's way better. But
like the idea, the premise.
So like the idea is that, so there's this like Trump figure, and they don't, one of the worst parts of the movie is that they don't, like, it's not subtle, right? Like Mark Ruffalo is clearly supposed to be Trump, and all his supporters wear red hats, and he's an idiot, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's got like weird, like ultra fixed teeth and like goofy hair, and it's like, he's Trump. And it's like, I hate Trump. Like, I fucking despise Trump. Every day I want to see a headline that his
But it's like the snooty French waiter joke of political commentary.
Well, it's like, the thing is, like, it's tough for me to say this because, like, I fucking despise Trump, right? Like, every day I hope he dies. But, like, at the same time, it's the same problem that I had with that movie. What's that movie that what's his name made last year about the meteor that was going to hit Earth?
Don't Look Up.
And I was like, I agree with the message of the movie, but I thought the way it was delivered was so fucking ham-fisted and, like, kind of, like, smell your own farts. It just
Like, lib shit? Is that the problem where it's just, smug and we're like, look how clever we are, and he's a Cheeto, like, that kind of shit?
Yeah, I think so. And then again, like, all that stuff would be fine if the, like, connecting fibers were interesting. And, like, the thing is, right, like, in trailers, they talk about how, you know, so, again, I got off topic. So they're in this, like, this four-year expedition to go to this planet called Niflheim, right? And all the Trump supporters are going to Niflheim to start a new pure colony, right? That's the idea. But there's this job opening for when they're trying to get off planet for an expendable person. So they've made this technology where you basically can die. You can sign up to be an expendable person. And basically you're tasked with, like, the shittiest work, like literally all the, like, scientific work. Like, they want to see, like, the effects of, like, what this shit does to you in space. So they send Mickey out there because they know he's going to die. So they're literally, like, at one point in the movie, like, towards the beginning, he's literally out in a spacesuit, and they're like, okay, well, you're going to die, so take off your fucking glove because we want to see what the effects of this is on the human body. And, like, they use him as a like, literal guinea pig, right? And that's interesting, but they don't really focus on that all that much. And that's kind of the problem with the movie. They set up these interesting things in the movie, but they don't really – they spend, like, 2 seconds on them. And, like, in the trailer, they were like, okay, so what happens when the clone – like, so basically what happens is Mickey 17, they think Mickey 17 dies, but he doesn't die. So they make another clone of him. So then you have two of the same people in the same spot. And I thought that was going to be, like, the entirety of the movie. But that plot point doesn't happen until, like, an hour and 10 minutes into the movie. And it's like, oh. And that's not even, like, the focal point of the movie either. Like, it's just very, like, I don't know. It needed, like, a second draft or something, because the end result of the movie is, like, literally just about the evils of colonialism, which we know about already. And again, it's not really delivered in an interesting way. And it's just kind of, it just kind of meanders along. And, you know, Robert Pattinson's good in the movie, but, like, Mickey 17 talks really weird. And we all know that Robert Pattinson loves doing weird shit with his voice. He's one of those actors. But, like, he obviously did a weird voice with Mickey 17, so there would be an easy way to tell between Mickey 17 and Mickey 18, because Mickey 18 talks normal, whereas Mickey 17 has this kind of rah-rah-rah kind of voice. And I was like, I don't know, by the end of it, I was just like, I didn't hate it, but, like, I just thought it was just kind of there. And I just expect more from Bong Joon-ho. Like, I love his movies. Like, I think he's, like, one of the best, like, filmmakers we have these days. And I don't know, this one just missed the mark for me. I wouldn't even recommend it. Like, is it just kind of, if it's only, like, I think it's, like, just over 2 hours long, but, man, it felt like 3 hours long, because, again, there's just nothing in it that's, like, interesting. Like, it just kind of goes plot point to plot point. Like, Toni Collette is in it, and that she makes this joke in the movie, like, because the colonists, they like go out of their way to say that they basically, like, starve the colonists. They're in, like, a super constrictive, like, calorie diet, but they choose one colonist at random to have dinner with Mark Ruffalo's character. So there's a scene where Mark Ruffalo has dinner with Robert Pattinson, and she makes this joke about, oh, you can tell an advanced society by their love of sauce, which is, like, a funny joke. But then, like, you find out her whole character is just about making sauce, and it's just stupid. Like, she gets these aliens that are on the planet, right? And, like, apropos of nothing, like, cuts up this thing's tail and just grinds it into a paste, and she's like, try my sauce. And it's like, what the fuck is this movie? Like, it's so, like, it's trying to be like over the top and funny, but it just comes off as being like kind of cringy and not funny at all. Like, I don't know. I really did not care for it at all. I'm very disappointed in it. So yeah, Mickey 17's a dud in my eyes. It's like a five, honestly. I don't think I'll ever go back to it. I don't think it's like, it, again, like the designs are great. The production design is wonderful. The acting is not bad. Like, it's just, go ahead, Sean.
Is this a John Woo making Mission Impossible kind of issue? Is this a making a movie with Western people for the West, do you think?
I mean, he made Snowpiercer. I mean, Snowpiercer is definitely a movie for the West. He made Okja, which I thought was pretty good. I mean, that's another one he made for Netflix. So, I mean, he's got experience making a movie for Western audiences. I don't know. I just don't. Apparently, this is based off a book. Or a series of books, and that definitely checks out because it definitely feels like there's more to this story than they ever give it time to like develop into. So I don't know. It just wasn't very good. I just didn't care for it. I was very disappointed. The other thing I watched, I just watched it today, is Conclave. It's directed by the same guy that directed the All Quiet on the Western Front that came out a couple years ago that I thought was really good too. Conclave is great. It's about the Pope dies and there's a lot of mystery around his death. And then Ralph Fiennes is like the dean of all the cardinals, which is a position I didn't know existed. But basically like Ralph Fiennes has to like, he's basically the head guy in the process of finding a new Pope. And then in the process of that, there's a lot of like palace intrigue and there's like division between like the ideologies of, you know, these Catholic cardinals, and there's mysteries about the Pope dying. And I thought it was really good. Like the cinematography is amazing. Like every scene in this movie just looks like a painting. Like it's shot so well and it's very propulsionary. Like I, when I saw the trailer, I was a little worried it was going to be kind of dry, and the movie moves at a clip. Like it doesn't really slow down at any point. And the acting is so good that it really sucks you in. I was a little disappointed by the ending. The ending is a little dumb, but overall, I really liked it. I thought it was excellent. And you know, talk about like, you know, something like a Ford versus Ferrari, where like I don't really give a shit about racing. Like I don't really give a shit about Catholicism, or the what's the technical term for the Pope, like the papacy or something.
Like, yeah, also boo.
I don't really give a shit about those things, but I thought the movie was very interesting. And I also enjoyed, going from Mickey 17 to something like this. This movie is very good at like kind of dissecting the kind of like more progressive wing of like Catholic thought to like where like there's this guy that's a cardinal who's definitely trying to kind of revert things. Like he doesn't believe in like women's rights, and he doesn't believe in like basically placating. Go ahead.
It's similar to what's going on with the College of Cardinals like right now, especially with the Pope on his last legs.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because like, you know, you definitely have like a more fundamentalist side as opposed to like the more progressive side. And then they even talk briefly about, you know, these cardinals are from all over the world, right? And like this Italian guy who's like definitely more of a fundamentalist is like, well, you're never going to let like a black guy be the Pope and stuff. And I was really shocked at how much I liked it. I thought it was a great movie. One of the best movies from last year. I thought it was wonderful. I think it's really, really good. Ralph Fiennes is Ralph Fiennes. That guy's amazing. And he carries so much weight with his character. Stanley Tucci's really good in the movie. Like Isabella Rossellini is in it. She plays kind of like the head of the Vatican, like Jesus Christ, like the nuns.
Like the convent.
Yeah. And she's really good in it. Like she's kind of got like an understated role, but overall, man, it's like a strong like 9 out of 10 for me. Like I thought it was great. And again, I kind of went in very skeptical that I was going to like it, because I remember seeing the trailer and I'm like, well, it looks kind of interesting, but I never saw it in the theater. I mean, I've had it on the Plex for a while. It took me a while to get around to it, but it's excellent. It's very, very good. And that director, like, go ahead, Sean.
Sorry, I didn't mean to hit the fucking button, but it might be tough for like maybe me or Gogs. I'm not sure about Alec. Like if you grew up Catholic, but I think Catholicism is more interesting and works better on film because of all the ceremony and the vestments and the fucking halo music and everything else. Whereas like a lot of like Protestant, especially newer Protestant religions, are just like not cinematic, if, for lack of a better term.
Oh no, and there's definitely scenes where he's got to put on his like vestments and all, and I don't know, man. Like again, like I think if you watch this movie on mute, you could still be interested in it just because of the way the shot composition is, and just at how pretty the whole movie is. Like it gets into some dark territory and some interesting like philosophical territory. But I thought it was great. Like I said, it's a 9 out of 10. Like if I watched this last year, it probably would have ended up in my top 10 of 2024. I thought it was very, very good. So a big recommend. On that one. And who's left? Gogs.
I didn't watch anything, but I am interested in this Black Pope movie you're pitching.
Well, he's not. Well, spoiler alerts, they don't pick the black guy.
No, but I mean, I think that there should be. We should make some sort of.
Who they end, I don't want to spoil it, but who they end up picking is kind of silly. And like the big so like the movie kind of ends and then it kind of keeps going and you're like, oh, there's still like 20 minutes left. And then there's this big reveal about the guy they do pick to be Pope. And it's kind of silly. It's kind of dumb, but it's fine. I still like the movie overall quite a bit. But yeah, I would definitely recommend it. All right. No, so you didn't watch.
I didn't watch anything. No, I've been no.
Watch Severance, Gogs. Go watch
that. I need to get like
Liz in on it. I think she'd like it too.
I need to knuckle up. Apparently I need to get like an Apple TV. People are pitching Severance.
It's on Plex. Just put it.
I know, but also people are saying like Silo apparently is also very good.
That looks stupid. I'll put it on the Plex too. Fine. Don't get
Apple. You would also get Ted Lasso and Shrinking. Yeah. And Tom Hanks has made a couple of movies on there that I like.
Yeah, I might just give it a little, I mean, dip my toes in.
Watch Severance. It's incredible. It really is.
I know. It's all I'm hearing.
It's so fucking good. All right. So now we...
Dinner with Andre.
What happened to my dinner with Andre, Gogs? Tell me more. Trenchant observation. What is the other thing that it says? It's got some weird like French
bon, word.
Like,
bon mot.
Bon mot. Yeah.
What does that mean? I didn't even catch that.
It's in like the, a little witty joke, I think.
Bon so mot. my dinner with Andre is it opens with the movie starts with a Wallace Shawn voiceover about having to go reluctantly attending a dinner with Andre Gregory. And he's, yes, Sean.
Speaking of trauma, this movie looks like shit.
Oh, this movie does not. This movie is grainy. This is a grainy film.
Oh, it's interesting you say it. I actually thought it looked kind of cool. Like, I actually liked the way it was shot. Like, I... It
looks cool in the same way that cassettes are cool, but, like, as far as quality goes, it looks atrocious.
Yeah. I think it was shot... It looks like it was shot on, like, 8mm or something to that effect. I don't know. I actually like the look of the movie. I'm surprised that you said it looks so bad. I actually enjoyed how it looked. It helped.
I enjoy the aesthetics because it sets the time, but like it looks like it was shot on a waffle. It doesn't look like it was shot on film.
Don't you think that helps? It's kind of like, I mean, to use a big film term, it's verisimilitude. Like it feels more realistic because
because they shot it with no lighting. It's just natural lighting and it looks kind of bad. In the same way that like sometimes, you know, a woman with a scar over her eye, like it makes her interesting, but it's not aesthetically the most pleasing thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, Don, you look like you're about ready to tap out like right now.
No, I'm good. We're good. We're present. So
you're voting present.
Voting present. So Wallace Shawn, and I noticed the graininess of it honestly, because I had to like pause the movie and go do something, come back. And on the when the stills are paused, it is just spectacled. No, that means you wear glasses. It's just fucking covered in white dots. It's grainy as shit. Anyway, Wallace Shawn's like, I don't know why, but I'm gonna go have dinner with Andre. I just want to make plays. And then he goes.
He does say inconceivable at one point in the movie, which I thought was pretty funny.
That made me smile.
Alec, go ahead. Alec,
gods. I think the word you're looking for is bespeckled.
Bespeckled.
Hey, yeah. Like an Easter egg would be bespeckled.
Yeah. Oh, those little Cadbury chocolate eggs. I love
shout
those.
Out. Shout out.
Oh, those mini ones are trash.
You don't like those?
Oh, oh, I like them.
You like the hard ones?
Plain M&Ms. How can you not like them? You love plain M&Ms.
No,
I do love plain M&Ms, but those are not the same.
I think they're called Robin eggs. I like those.
The Robin eggs are different. The Robin eggs are malt.
Those are malt balls.
Oh, you're right.
I mean, I'll eat a fistful of them Cadbury little baby eggs.
I like those too.
I fucks with a cream egg, but like, you know.
I love the Cadbury cream egg. I had a problem with those as a kid. I used to eat those way too much.
Did you say they were some kind of like fancy foreign food when you were a kid with that fucking commercial with the lion with the bunny ears and shit?
Technically, they are. They're like the only good British food export because they're from England.
Not a dick would like a word, but anyway.
What did you say? You're saying your dick would like a word?
Spotted dick.
What the fuck is that?
It's like, I don't know. It's
like an English pudding raisins, which probably means it's like a
blood
a sausage.
Oh, yeah, no, I think spotted dick is like, it's like...
It's like a sponge cake with raisins in it. It just has a hilarious name.
England sucks.
Yeah. Shout out. So anyway, while Sean's going to dinner and he's like, I don't know what the fuck this shit's going to be about. And how could he have ever guessed what this shit would be about? Because he sits down in this fancy ass fresh restaurant and they order two whole birds apiece. And then for the first 40 minutes of the movie, Andre Gregory just fucking goes off on just tangent after it's like the wordiest, like, unnecessarily detailed tangents,
it's kind of these people are Andre Gregory and speaks French or whatever. While Sean is totally befuddled as to what anything actually is,
and it's just like, it's like you ever had a conversation with somebody and they just feel the need to just add in way too much that doesn't pertain to this. Like, it wasn't just a woman. It was a Polish woman in her mid-30s with a scar over her breast and who only speaks Cantonese. Like, okay, it's just a lady. A lady was doing shit in the woods with you. My man got, I don't know, he joined a cult, I guess. Like, he was, like, fucking with a teddy bear.
And they didn't get their entree until an hour and 15 minutes into this movie. That service at that restaurant is terrible.
Everybody
has this friend, like Andre Gregory, right? It's like, oh, you've never been to Vegas for the such and such. Oh, you've never been to Machu Picchu. Oh, you got to go. Blah. There's a great line in it where he's like, well, did you ever go to India? Because he's been going on about things ancillary to India forever. And he's like, yeah, but I felt like a tourist. It's like, sir, you are a tourist. And your inability to process that is the issue.
So, like, I don't know. I was very tired when I watched it and very confused. I didn't have, like, the bandwidth to process what I was watching. But essentially what happens is Andre Gregory is just going off about his life experiences at this dinner, which he invited Wallace Shawn to, I guess, just to rub his face in it. Like, I don't know why he invited him to this dinner.
So in the beginning monologue that Wallace Shawn has, Wallace Shawn is a playwright, but basically he can't get any plays produced. So he's become like a working actor. And then Andre Gregory is a producer, director, playwright, or he's not actually a playwright, right? He puts on plays, and he mentions that, I guess, like, no one's really talked to him in a while, and he's like kind of gone off the deep end, like nobody knows what's wrong with him. So like Andre Gregory, it's kind of interesting the parallels between this and Vanya on 42nd, because they both deal with like these kind of hoity-toity like artist types that feel like they've lost their like kind of reason to live. Like they're fucking
babies.
They're questioning the value of like the art that they put into this world. I mean, I feel like that's kind of the theme of both of these movies.
I don't know if it's questioning the art. I think it's more like just questioning existence, whether you need to be, it's like, it's like feeling versus knowing. Well, seems to be what I took from this.
It's like us. It's inside you. There are two wolves. One wolf is a pretentious dickhead, and the other one don't want bugs in his coffee.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So fucking Andre Gregory's talking about, like, I don't know, a monk that banged his whole family, and like his experience. The monk's
family?
I don't know whose family got banged, but the guy was fingering tables and floating and shit. And singing songs and laughing. And then
he gets buried alive.
He gets buried alive.
But it's like a bit.
There's a christening. At some point, he wants everyone to make love to a Nazi flag and then sew a patch on
it. That part is fucking wild, where he's like, well, I got like a Hindu flag. I wanted first of all, the line of, I wanted a flag to represent things going on, which is a weird thing to have.
He's like, I want us to break bread on it and lay on it, and I want to give it to all my friends to sleep with,
yeah.
And then sew a patch to like,
yeah.
I don't know, like it's a moon mission, like everyone gets to have their fucking.
He got a flag made that had the Hindu swastika on it, and then at one point he gives the fucking swastika flag to his Jewish friend, and he's like, oh, she hated it. It's like, yeah,
there's a lot of references to the Holocaust, to fascism, to the SS.
Well, they were closer to fascism in the point of that movie, in the Holocaust, than we are to this movie right now.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, that's more like kind of contemporary boomer stuff right there. I mean,
also, well,
in our defense, we're pretty close to fascism right
well,
now.
I meant that specific. Well, I guess it is that brand of, anyway, the German one.
But the German one.
Yeah. Andre Gregory's like the ayahuasca asshole. You know what I mean? He's one of those type of guys.
Right, like he's had this moment. He took some LSD, and he's Joe Rogan DMT. He sees the world for what it is. The veil has been pulled off, and it's all he can do is spout a nigh incoherent stream of nonsense to this poor little man who's just trying to eat a whole chicken. And then they flip it over to Wallace Shawn. He's like, I just want to live and eat and be and survive, and I don't have, I guess it's trying to illustrate that some people don't have the means to, like, some people, it's base need, it's, if it's Maslow's what hierarchy of needs, Wallace Shawn's at the base and Andre Gregory's at the tippy top.
I think it's a couple things. One, I think is, and I could be misreading it, I'm sure everybody has like a valid interpretation of it, that like you can tell that Andre Gregory is very well to do no matter what. So whatever he's doing to be quote unquote uncomfortable is like cosplay. And that's why Wallace Shawn's going on about this blanket so much, because it's like, I know it's cold. I don't want to be cold. I want to have like a very small bit of comfort. But there's also this like kind of underlying class issue where Wallace Shawn goes on about, you know, I don't want bugs in my coffee and I want to be able to read the newspaper with my wife and so on and so forth. Like, that seems like admirable, but at the same time, it's like, and I think Wallace Shawn's actually a socialist, so this probably is in there. It's like, oh, is my only happiness, is all I deserve that I should get as a peasant, is to like not have bugs in my coffee, and I have to defend this stance. So I think there's kind of a lot going on. The only time that Andre Gregory, I think, like, really strikes a nerve that's not like some pretentious dickhead thing is when he's talking about his mom's arm and the one doctor that comes in and it's like, oh, she's doing great. Her arm's much better, even though she's like literally dying, because all he's focused on is this one part. I cede my time.
I totally agree with you on that, Sean. I think that that's one of the things that's in their conversation. It's definitely like a class conversation, right? Like, I think one of the parts of Wallace and Sean's, his side of the dialogue is where he's talking about how, like, you know, I only can deal with like the things that are in front of me, right? Like, I feel bad for the starving people in Africa, but like, I still just, you know, there's only so much I can do.
He too is also trying to survive. He is not in a place of comfort necessarily, where he, and he kind of makes it clear in his opening bit about going to the dinner, he's not in a place of luxury where he can afford to do these other things, right? Like, yeah, he doesn't absolutely. need he doesn't need to suffer without his electric blanket just so he can feel more vibrant with life. My man just wants to get the morning warm. Like,
yeah, sure. Like, he had that great part where he talked about, yeah, if I see a fortune cookie, he says, don't get on a plane, I'm going to get nervous. But it's like, what am I going to do about it? You know, it's all based on, you know, the statistics and blah, blah, blah. He can't afford to go off of vibes. You know what I mean? Like, he has to just make whatever the most, like, the most sensible decision is, regardless of anything else.
But then also in that part of that conversation, they start talking about the effects in art. Like, well, I don't think that people would appreciate like more realistic, you know, portrayals in art because that's like bad for them. That's like a very interesting way to like frame their conversation. Like, you know, because he's like, well,
oh, that it confirms everything they think is bad actually is, and there's no way to escape it.
Right. Like, you're supposed to make like aspirational art, not the art that's reflecting the life that's in front of you. And like, that's definitely like something that, again, comes from a place of privilege, which is, again, I don't know. I found that part pretty interesting.
Well, it's funny to have that kind of observation right after watching Vanya, which is all about just being fucking stuck, right? No, I kind of thought it was like, not to make it like super political, but like one of the things I thought
it definitely is.
But like one of the things I was like, for example, maybe the second time too, but the first time Trump won, I was like, one of the reasons he won is because there's enough people in this world that felt like they didn't have the luxury to look out for other people. So they had to look out for themselves. And he was preaching looking out for yourself. And that was that message got lost, or that message was used to that effect. And this is similar. It's fucking Wallace Shawn can only handle the Wallace Shawn world of things until he can get himself into an elevated position where then maybe he can worry about things beyond his immediate scope.
I mean, that's a really good point. And it also kind of brings into that, like, oh, the art, this in this case being like the showmanship of politics reflects our real world. So this is the best we've got is one of these two choices. So it's like, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. And then they have coffee and like,
and an amaretto.
Give me an amaretto.
I want an espresso and a shot of amaretto. And then I'm going to go back to see Debbie. That turned into Eek the Cat really fast. everyone's just left to contemplate. I don't know. I mean, it's weird. It's thought provoking. Like every once in a while I could like a man panning for gold in a stream, like a little nugget of something interesting would like resonate with me about like, some of the stuff about how, you know, we deny ourselves these experiences and these pains, and we live by habit and we live by comfort, and that is not allowing us to reach our full potential is what I think Andre Gregory was sort of getting at. And I was like, that's interesting. It's like, do you eat because you can afford to and it's habit, or do you eat because you're hungry? Like that sort of thought.
Right.
But the rest of it is just, it's just.
It tied back to the class thing though, because it's like, he can afford to have these kind of like philosophical like debates with himself and like, oh, we're not living free because you're not doing X, Y, Z. It's like, this is what I can do. This is the amount of time I have. This is what I can afford.
Right.
Also, you know he was stoked that Andre Gregory paid for that dinner. You could tell.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, it's just all buried in this interesting, this bizarre word salad of just experiences that I had a hard time contemplating, even visualizing, because they are just disparate and strange and like, I feel like I'd be standing there on the sideline with a fucking soda going, to what end? Like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Well, like,
I wouldn't suffer any of this nonsense.
Well, it kind of works in
nonsense
in that way, for at least for me, because it's like we've all been trapped in these never ending spiels with somebody. And the tension comes from, it's like, when is this guy going to shut up? When do I get to answer? Like, I guess you don't realize, or at least I didn't realize until, you know, he actually responds, is that he's been seething and boiling over almost this entire time. He's like, I don't know what you're talking. Well, maybe I do, but I can't articulate it. And it's like, I think we've all been there where it's like, bro, what the fuck are you babbling about? And then so on and so forth.
There's a great piece of shot composition too, where when Wallace Shawn is talking, you can see Gregory's reflection in the window, yeah. And like you can kind of see his facial expressions based on what Wallace Shawn is saying. And again, like it's just, I don't know, it's just a little touch that I thought was pretty clever and like interesting. And again, like kind of like Vanya, like this movie is all dialogue and acting, right? Like that's it. It's really all you got. And I think, I don't know, for me anyway, I felt like it was way more compelling than Vanya because this felt more grounded and it felt more like two actual people talking, obviously, than like a play. Like, I don't know. I there's something about this movie that I liked a lot. And again, it probably speaks to my fucking my want that I used to, when I was younger, I used to want to be an intellectual. Like, I don't know. I used to like these kind of things. Like, and I think I still do to a certain extent. Like, there is something I like about just like philosophical conversation. I don't know.
But you can kind of see the artifice and the tedium in it now as an older person. Like, I think
became
the Wallace Shawn person.
Well, Wallace Shawn is way more of an everyman than Gregory, who is just completely like divorced from what it is to be like a normal person. You know, he knows, he goes to the fancy French restaurant. He goes to like all over the world. He's, you know, again, it's like that Simpsons thing, right? Where like Grimes is like, you've been to space, and Homer's like, you've never been. Like,
yeah. I live above a bowling alley, directly below another bowling alley.
Wow.
Gogs. Does Andre Gregory in this movie, does he distractingly remind you of Roy Scheider, or is that just me?
He has some Roy Scheider to him, certainly. At some of his facial structure. There was something also about his voice that I was like, you sound like somebody. But I, for the life of me, couldn't place, like, where else. Because I looked at his filmography, like, nothing else really fucking stuck out to me. No, it's, like, the movie is well acted. Like, it seems, much like Vanya, it is so well acted that it doesn't feel script. It feels like you are just watching two people have a conversation, a bonkers conversation, but it's like very, it's another, just like Vanya, I feel like this is one of those weird movies where you're asking for, all right, can you do that again? Like, it doesn't feel like there were a lot of takes. Like, it felt like it was just kind of.
Well, it's like I said at the beginning of the show, I would have not been surprised if this was all improvised. Like, it feels like it is like
here's your position, get us there, like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's interesting where, you know, in the beginning he's like, I'm like a detective. I like letting people talk. One, probably because of like some kind of like social awkwardness. But the other thing is, and again, maybe I'm adding this to it, but it's like, if you let somebody talk long enough, you're going to find out what they're about and that they're probably stupid. And like, it just, you know, they'll, you know, put themselves in their own trap, like philosophically.
Yeah.
Alec. Was your favorite part of the movie the bon mot?
My favorite part of the movie was when the ending credits started to roll.
I kind
of
the saw dinner.
Yeah, my favorite part was dessert.
Yeah,
that means dinner's almost over.
That food didn't look particularly good either.
I don't know. I would have eaten those two small birds. Those looked well cooked.
You ever had like a French Cornish hen? I don't think I've ever.
No, I haven't. But I one time stuck a Cornish hen in a chicken and tried to cook it.
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I've ever. To be honest, I don't think I've ever had like French cuisine. Like, I'm pretty sure I've never been to like a French restaurant.
You had Vietnamese. That's similar. That's
French. Yeah, like you get like.
It is. That's where a lot of that shit comes from. Is France?
All the sauciers.
Siam. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why
you saw Apocalypse Now Redux.
I did.
Banh mi's are made out of baguette with pate spread on them.
Ooh, well, that sounds pretty good.
Also, I wouldn't be surprised if you had a pheasant. You're over there drinking your $3 soda.
You've had French fries,
sir. I'm drinking a natural light right now.
I thought you had one of those like those sodas they sell individually at Target.
Oh, the lollipop or whatever.
Poppy. Yeah.
Poppy. Those things are tremendous.
Are they good?
They're just expensive as shit. They're like $3 a can.
Oh my God.
No, but they're really, the good flavors are really good. And they're like, they have apple cider vinegar in it. They're like probiotic and they help your guts and stuff.
Hmm.
No, all the flavors suck. The good flavors are good.
What's a good flavor? If it's $3 a can, I don't want to buy the wrong one.
I like the strawberry lemonade and the watermelon.
Okay.
And they're getting ready to come out with like a Mountain Dew flavor.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm in. They got a new Mountain Dew flavor coming to Taco Bell, by the way. It's like Baja Blast Midnight. Looking forward to that.
Great.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, I guess we get into Five Knuckle Shuffles. Anything else we want to say about this film?
Well, before we get into Five Knuckle Shuffles, I would like to establish what the connector is. Is it Wallace Shawn or is it Andre Gregory?
I was going to say, because I sewed Alec up so bad with this, I'm going to, because they were both in the last movie, I'm going to let you choose the pivot, because Andre Gregory's filmography is limited. I think we'd have to watch Disturbia as like the only other movie. So I'm going to let Alec pick from those two.
Okay.
Do you want to do that now, or do you want to get your Five Knuckle Shuffles first?
I'll do the Five Knuckle Shuffles, because I had one for each one, and I need to decide which one I'm going to do.
All right, Five Knuckle Shuffle time. Gogs, why not?
Okay. I'm actually going to give it, despite what seemed like some criticism, I'm going to still give this a 7. It was thought-provoking. It was interesting. It was well shot. It was well acted. I felt, as much as I felt that Andre Gregory's character was kind of insufferable, I also understand that was probably the point. So in which case, point made. While Sean's great, like the same thing from last week, right? Like it's a shame he doesn't get a chance to just flex that muscle more often. I thought Andre Gregory was great. He's just, his character's just a fucking lunatic. There was certainly enough points in the movie where it, like, you know, through the word salad, like it made me, you know, raise my eyebrow and made me think about some stuff. And it's very similar to, I can't think of another film quite like this that I've seen. Maybe like the Big Kahuna. Vanya, right. Like, I'm like a real, like, it's not Glengarry Glen Ross, but it's such an interesting, like, bottle movie and, like, just a tight, like, group of characters and just situation. It's interesting. So, yeah, I mean, I'd give it a 7. I would rewatch this. I might actually rewatch this. I wouldn't rewatch Vanya, but I would probably rewatch this just to see, you know, if my feelings would change about it upon a second viewing. If I got any more little nuggets out of it, but no, it's not bad. It's just fucking weird. And now we've seen it, Sean.
This is a sneaky 10 for me. I think I fucking love this movie.
Sneaky 10.
I think it's a movie that could never be remade, never be reproduced. I don't know why anybody would even bother trying to make it. You could make this movie for $50. I appreciate a big swing. Conceptually, this is a big swing. Again, like with Vanya, it's like, let's get some money to just have these two. It's not traditionally, I guess Andre Gregory's all right looking, but like, well, Sean definitely isn't. And like, let them just ramble on about philosophy, because I think we've all at some point had one of these like just insufferable conversations with somebody, whether we were the insufferable one or the receiver of the same. I'm sure these guys were like in their early 30s at the time this was made.
One said he was 36.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he says his age.
Okay. Yeah, so they were not old men. So like, it's, you know, it's a time capsule. It's a bottle movie. It's New York that doesn't exist anymore, and like especially
when he gets on the subway, like how grimy the subway is.
You know, and it's this very like niche, you know, talking about theater shit, which I don't know anything about nor particularly care about. But it's just fascinating that, you know, just the amount of lungs on Andre Gregory to get through this entire thing and sound believable. Like he, even though he's like obnoxious, he's not framed as such. You know what I mean? Like he seems like he genuinely cares and like he thinks these things and these things are helpful. He doesn't come across as like a pretentious asshole in the way that a worse script would have made him, but he still kind of is. I think this is an achievement. I love this movie. So I already know what Alex is going to give it. So TJ.
This is going to be an 8 for me, dog. I really like this movie too. I can't give this movie a 10. Only because I feel like a 10 is reserved for something that I can, like, I don't know, go back to a bunch of times and recommend other people. This is a very specific movie for a very specific person. I do like this movie a lot. I can't really even put my finger on what I like about it, but there's just like, there's something about it's Wallace Shawn's character and some of his musings, like, you know, just even stuff that's even before his conversation with Andre, like talking about living in New York and being nostalgic for his past. And like, I don't know, I think that like something that we've harped on a lot in our criticisms of a bunch of different kinds of movies is we never feel like we know the characters, and they do in this movie such a good job of fleshing out these two characters. Like, they feel so realized, and that's such a difficult thing to do with such limited resources, right? Like, it's a bottle movie, right? And it's just a conversation between two guys, but you know so much about, you know, Andre Gregory and Wallace Shawn just from their conversations. And inside that conversation, there is multitudes, right? Like, there is, like Sean said, there is discussion about class, there's discussion about society. I just think that there's this script is very interesting and a lot deeper than it looks to be on the surface. And I think that's why it's held in such high regard. And I agree with Sean, like, it's insane that this got made at any point in history. Like, I can't imagine like pitching this to like a regular studio and being like, we just got this movie where these two guys talk for 2 hours and they talk so long, the whole staff leaves and the restaurant clears out. Like, and it's wild. And I don't know. It's not even something I can fully articulate, but there's something like very unique and special about this movie that resonates with me. So now Alec, go ahead.
I'll put 10.
No, it's not. Shut up. You're not.
It's a one.
A one? Oh, come on.
Another movie with two boring white men having boring conversations. Mm. Last week was more than two. This week it's just two. But Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, be Amish Greg.
Yeah, be Amish stud.
I don't disagree with that assertion. That take at all.
It's just Andre is insufferable. Like, I wish he would have died when he was buried alive. Well, Sean's fine, but I just don't care about two people just whining for 2 hours.
Over chicken.
Yeah, over
chicken. And they never even talked about the chicken, to be fair. Like, they didn't, they were like, damn, this chicken's really good.
Awful.
Think they'd have been like, you know what, this chicken's delicious.
Yeah, no, hell yeah, chicken.
Are you gonna finish your Cornish game hen?
I feel like the bird's really dry at that place, and I can't put my finger on why, but like, I feel like it's bad. It's like au poivre or something. It's just like all peppercorn and no juice.
What was that word you just said?
Au poivre.
What does that mean?
It's French for with pepper, I think.
Andre, this chicken is incredibly dry.
I mean, all kidding aside, I wish they talked more about the food, because I was like, tell us about the food.
Yeah. Give me a trenchant insight.
I feel like that's the only part of the movie that's not natural, because I feel like in every, you always end up talking about the food when you're talking, when you're at a restaurant like that.
I mean, they did have two boring ass chickens. It's not like
they also touched dicks because they ordered the same food.
Yes, I'm glad somebody brought that up. Yeah, I was like,
what?
Oh yeah, you've never heard that expression? That's something that Anthony and I came up with. If you go to a restaurant and you order the same meal, that's called touching dicks. You're always supposed to order something different.
Dude, when somebody orders the thing I want, I immediately panic and go to my second option.
Right, adhere to that rule dicks. And you didn't even know about it. Yeah, you don't want to touch dicks.
I don't even touch dicks with my own wife.
Exactly. You always have to pick something different. You can't pick the same thing.
No.
I do think it's funny, though, because going back to Sean, he said this it's he doesn't know what he's what he has like he's he, again he's not familiar with like French cuisine, so he's just ordering it because it's like, oh, I'll get that because it's like,
yeah, I'll have what he's having.
Yeah. All right, so who is the pivot next week, Alec? What are we watching?
Well, I was kind of torn because I had one for each one, and I think they're both interesting choices. But we're going to go with Wallace Shawn, and we're going to watch Meteor Man.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Thought about Baltimore that movie superhero.
Mm-hmm.
What was your Gregory, Andre Gregory pick?
The Shadow?
Yeah. He's in The Shadow? Oh, shit.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? It's
already on the Plex.
The Shadow knows.
Didn't you just
put it on there?
Yeah, a guy at work.
Yeah, that's so fucking weird. It's like, I looked it up last week and I was like, well, if it's him, I can at least do The Shadow. And then I went on the Plex the other day. I was like, what the fuck?
I read your mind.
He's replaying everything.
Do you remember they were desperately searching for an action figure movie and The Shadow was one? They had The Shadow Mobile, this fucking Pulp Hero from the 20s. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember
I think it had a serial, actually. Like, dude,
Alec Baldwin, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, Alec Baldwin's The Shadow.
The cast of Meteor Man sets me up nicely
Of Meteor Man?
Robert Townsend.
Yeah, he had a bunch of movies and like
shout out the Hollywood 90s. Shuffle.
Yeah, Hollywood Shuffle. Like,
John Witherspoon, Luther Vandross, James Earl Jones, Eddie Griffin. Like, there's
it's a Baltimore movie. I don't know if it's filmed Jackson's here, but it's meant to be there.
Yeah. Oh, no shit, really? I didn't know that either. I don't think I've ever seen Meteor Man. I remember
they got the Golden Lords and the Baby Lords.
Baby Lords.
I've never seen it, so this will be interesting.
I used to see this shit on, I don't think it was on HBO, but it was on something, and I saw it several times as a kid.
Yeah, same.
Hell yeah. All right, next week, Meteor Man. All right, everybody. Ooh,
Bill Cosby.
Oh God, we can pivot to Bill Cosby.
Oh, we can watch Leonard Part 6.
My dinner with Andre the Meteor Man is a humongous pivot. I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right, everybody, that's the show. I'm gonna go get some chicken.
Go have dinner.
I'm very hungry. Maybe I'll go get some French food. Gods, is there any good French restaurants in Baltimore?
Yeah, there's one. Well, there's one in Ellicott City, Tercicles.
Kersicles?
Didn't Victoria's? Didn't where Victoria's is used to be a French restaurant?
Yeah, but
no,
used to be.
I'm thinking of no. The There's one La Macaline. Over. Where yeah, that's by Famous Dave's, isn't it?
Where is Turdsicles?
Famous Dave's.
Turdsicles is over by Lapa Lapa. It's that white building on the left.
Oh no, shit! Main Street, Ellicott City.
Main Street. Yeah, they'll cook a steak right next to you on a cart.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
that sounds. I don't want that.
I don't really want that.
It's greasy and intrusive.
The only thing I want made on a cart next to me is my smashed guacamole.
Yeah, I want a fresh tableside guacamole.
I don't want like somebody that? Just. I don't want somebody just standing there making shit.
It makes me feel like an asshole.
Yeah.
We can hoot and holler at the right time. Throw your dollar bills.
Now you're talking.
Add that lime.
That got me. Right, I don't know why that one got me. All right, everybody, that's the show. Thank you, everybody, for coming on this artistic voyage with us for the last two movies. I don't think we'll ever get as artsy fartsy as we have been the last 2 weeks. I don't know. Never maybe know. Not.
We got a whole lot. We got a lot of year left, and we could go down some really weird places.
I'm going to try to steer us to like a Terrence Malick movie or something. I don't know.
Mm.
But anyway. All righty. See you, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye.